Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Well, that was a new song to me. I don't remember that song at all.
Well, you don't go back that far.
I probably do. Go back a little far. Well, here we are. We're going to talk about something this morning that you guys, don't turn me off, you men, because we're going to talk about our wardrobe, okay? And some of you guys probably aren't as interested in clothes or things you put on as some of us ladies are, but you do wear them, so hang with me here for a little bit.
Not ladies' clothes.
Well, I hope not. I hope not. That's a whole nother topic that I'm not prepared for today. But, you know, when we think about clothes, we think about what looks good on us, right? I mean, I wouldn't go buy something in a color that I knew made me look like I was dead or something, you know. You try to get colors that you think look good on you. You want it to fit right. How many of you know, things can look lovely on the mannequin, right? Beautiful. And you think, I want that. And so you go get it, and you go try it on, and you find out, it's not going to work for me, right? So we want to pick out the right clothes. We want to look presentable to other people. We want to be comfortable, right? You don't want to be in something that's uncomfortable. You want to wear something that's nice, something that looks good, is tailored to fit you, fit your figure. You know, before you put it on, you want something nice. I know that Jeanette and I have similar taste in clothes because we shop on the same website. And she can spot something from that website. If I ever have it on, she'll say, Zulily. Yep, that's where I got it. So, you know, we just like to look. We like to look at stuff, and we want to get the right thing. But did you know that God has a wardrobe? There's a spiritual wardrobe we're supposed to put on every day, and I bet you that half the time we don't give it half the thought that we give our physical wardrobe, you know? Because we get up, you're going to something fancy, ladies, how many of you know, if you're going to something fancy, you're looking all over the place for that fancy, perfect outfit, right? But we don't always get up in the morning and think, okay, I need to put this on spiritually and this on spiritually and this on spiritually. We should, but we don't give it the thought that we should give it. So we're going to talk about that today, our spiritual wardrobe, what I call God's wardrobe for us. Colossians 3:12-13 says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So compassionate hearts. I think, I'm speaking for myself, that this is probably an area I lack in. Because when we, you know, it's easy for me to be compassionate to people I love, to people who are my friends, you know, and maybe even people I work with. Sometimes that gets a little bit harder sometimes. But the stranger on the street. Sometimes it's hard to have a compassionate heart when we should have that compassionate heart. And this is an area I think the church as a whole lacks in. Just from what I see, I think as a Christian people, sometimes we have gotten a little bit harder over the years. We used to give everybody everything, and then we got to the point where we give nobody anything. But I think there's a happy medium. I mean, right, we don't want to give people money if they're going to go spend it on drugs. I get that. That's just enabling people. So there's a happy medium, you know? And I think the Holy Spirit can show us how to find it for ourselves, what we're comfortable with and what the Holy Spirit's comfortable with for us. But we need to be compassionate as a church. And as a church, that's me and you. Aren't we the church? It's not the building. right? It's us. It's people. We've got to be compassionate. And I think that I know that that's one area that I need to improve on, so I'm just being transparent with you. And I think as a church, that's something we all need to work on. The definition of compassion is a feeling of wanting to help someone who is sick, hungry, or in trouble, etc. So like I said, that's easy to do with people we love. It's easy to do with our family. It's easy to do with our church friends. You know, I know that if I were in need, most of you would probably give me the shirt off your back, and I would do the same for you. That's easy to do because I know you and I love you, right? But somebody who is not a very nice person, it's a little bit harder sometimes to show that compassion that we need to. So we need to work. And I think pray, the Lord just going to have to help us, because this is something we can't do on our own. I mean, we don't, you know, we're basically selfish people. So we need the Holy Spirit to help us with that compassionate heart that we need to put on. That might be one of the hard things we have to put on. Kindness. There's a saying that says, kindness makes the most beautiful person in the world, makes you the most beautiful person in the world, no matter what you look like. And that's true. Have you ever been around somebody who they may not be the most beautiful person? They may actually physically not be a very good looking person, but because they're so kind, they're so sweet, you just love them. You know, they're beautiful to you because of the kindness that they have. Kindness can be seen in a lot of different ways. Just smiling at somebody can show kindness. Just to give them a smile, you know, stranger, walk through Walmart and smile at people. They will think you're either crazy or the nicest person they've ever met. But just walk through and smile at people. You know, my husband has the ability to make friends. I mean, we'll be in any store, and I'll be looking at something, and I'll turn around, and he's in this deep conversation with somebody, and they're crying, and he's praying with them. And I'm like, what? We came in here for bread. What, you know, what happened? or he'll tell me, yeah, that's the Dr. Pepper man. We need to pray for him. He's having trouble in his marriage. I'm like, how do you know that? You know, but he takes time to get to know people in Walmart, you know, just talk to people he's passing by. You know, we could all learn a lot from him in that respect. I'm telling you, because it's true. I'm amazed. I'm truly amazed at people who just open up and tell him everything. So yeah, it is nice. It is nice. And it's a kindness. We can show kindness in the tone of our voice. How many of you know if you call me and I say, hello? Or I can say, what? Right? There's a difference. Is there not a difference there? You wouldn't think the second one was very kind, would you? You'd probably just hang up, think, oh, I'm not going to bother her. Or maybe, hopefully you'd think you had the wrong number. That would be my hope if I ever did that. Holding a door for somebody at the store. I do not mind. Anybody can hold a door for me. I'm not one of these women that says, no, you can't hold the door for me. I can do it myself. Knock yourself out. Hold the door for me. I don't care. I love it. And I say thank you. Right? We need to tell people. That's a kindness too. Telling people thank you for doing something for them. Maybe mowing somebody's yard in this heat. That is kindness. Right? What about paying for somebody's meal? You know, I'm telling on myself, okay? I went through McDonald's one day, and you know how they have the duplicate speaker things, and then you have to know, okay, did I finish first? So do I go before that person, or did they go before me? And sometimes it gets a little confusing, you know? So I had my money in my hand, and this lady was looking at me, and I was looking at her, and I couldn't decide if I was supposed to go first. But then I realized that the money in my hand, I had one of my fingers kind of not together with the other money, and so it looked bad. You know what I'm saying? You know, I wasn't doing anything. I was not sending a signal. But I realized, you know, that doesn't look good, right? So I went ahead, and she's looking at me like, what? You know? So I went ahead and went first. I felt so bad, because I thought she thought I was that kind of person. And so I paid for her food. I said, I don't know how much that lady's food is behind me, but just please add it to my bill. Because I didn't want her to think I was a bad person. Now, that's not really necessarily a kindness. That was just trying to, I wanted her not to think badly of me in that instance, right? But, you know, that is a kindness. If you go through and you just decide, hey, you know, I just have a feeling I'll just pay for this person's food, or I'll pay for their drink, or, you know, just sometimes it's $5. You know, just something nice. So just every once in a while, I think we should just show a little random acts of kindness. You've heard that term, random acts of kindness. Humility, realizing you are God's creation, but so is everybody else. It's not just you. You know, sometimes we think, I am a child of the King. We just strut around like we are something else, you know? But so is the guy on the street who doesn't have but one set of clothes to his name, right? He's a God's creation too. He may not have accepted Christ as Savior. He may not be considered a child of God, but he is a creation of God, just like we are a creation of God. We are, we have to be humble. We have to realize that there are things that, you know, we're not too good for stuff. I work with people, and sometimes they'll say, you know, I ask them to do something, and I hear them go, that's not my job. You ever heard that? That's not my job? Well, I hate to tell you, but, you know, plunging the toilet's not my job either. It's not in my job description, but I do it if I have to. The toilet backs up at work, I plunge it. If it breaks, and this little flapper thing, I can fix that. That's an easy deal. I can go buy that and fix that. You know, I've cleaned up people's blood when they've bled all over the floor. I've done, you know, that's not in my job description. They didn't tell me when they hired me, you might have to clean up vomit and stuff. You know, nobody told me that. But if it needs to be done, you do it. So when I hear somebody tell me that works for me, that's not my job, then for one thing, that tells me there's pride there, that they think they're too good to do that. I don't think I'm too good to do that, so I don't think somebody who works for me should tell me they're too good to do that, right? But we don't need to be prideful. There's nothing that shouldn't be not our job. We should be able to help people and do things and not think that we're too good for that, whatever it might be. So we just need to realize that we're all God's creation. Pride is about my glory, and humility is about God's glory. It's God's glory. Point four is meekness. Number four in our wardrobe, meekness. Now, I looked up the definition of meekness, and I've got it here for you to see, but I disagree with part of it. It says, enduring injury with patience and without resentment, mild or meek. Okay, I'm with it. It says, deficient in spirit and courage. Wrong. Because sometimes being meek and being nice and patient and without resentment is the strongest we can be, the biggest strength we can have. That doesn't mean we're, you know, a lot of people, I've heard people say before, well, Christians are doormats. Well, I'm not a doormat. I don't let people walk all over me. But at the same time, there are times when we are wronged, when it's okay to just be meek and just let it happen and just be patient. You know, you have to follow the Holy Spirit, because every situation you're in, there's a different way to handle it. And the person that is in the situation with you, there might be a different way to handle that person. So we have to really have our ears open to the Holy Spirit, because it might be a situation where the best witness you can be is to sit there and let them abuse you and say nothing. On the other hand, it may be that the best witness you can be to that person who thinks Christians are doormats is to stand up and say, you know what, I'm not going to accept this. I'm not going to let you talk to me this way or whatever. But we need to, you know, just be careful. Sometimes it takes more courage to take stuff, you know, and just be kind about it. I do agree with the not violent, but I don't agree with the strong, because I think we are still strong in our meekness. So, sorry, Mr. Webster. Not that it really matters to them that I don't agree, but I don't agree. Point five, patience. Okay, men, if you have a woman in your life, you have had to have patience. And I'm a woman, I can say that. It's true. You have had to wait on her to get ready to go places. You have wondered why you can get ready in 5 minutes and it takes her 35 minutes, right? I'm not getting an amen. I can't believe this. Y'all are either asleep or something. But there are times when you have to wait. You know, my husband is just used to it. He goes and gets ready, and then he goes and sits in his chair, and he plays a game on his phone, or he does something, waiting for me to get ready. You know, he doesn't say, hurry up, we got 5 minutes, what are you doing? You know, I don't get any of that stuff. Now, I will tell you, one time when I was making him wait quite often at one point, he did come to me and say, you know what, he said, that's embarrassing to me when we're late all the time. And I don't want to embarrass my husband. So, and I didn't realize that I was embarrassing him. So I am careful now not to be late, but we may be right on time. Yeah, that's okay. There you go, Loretta. Thank you. Because you know what? There are always going to be times in life when we have to wait. We pray for that miracle. Sometimes you have to wait. Sometimes it comes right away. But sometimes you have to wait. Now, patience is not the ability to wait, but the ability to keep a good attitude while waiting, right? Got to keep a good attitude. We're all going to experience a wait. You're going to wait at the doctor's office. You're going to wait for your spouse. Sometimes us ladies wait for our husbands to do something we've asked them to do 3 months ago. But last year, wow. Okay. We have to have a prayer meeting. But you know, we're going to wait. At some point or another, we're going to wait. And you know, if you're, well, I don't know about you, but I have been in waiting rooms where I hear people griping. You know? Can you believe they only have one person checking us in? Can you believe? I have been here 30 minutes. And can you believe there are people going ahead of me? And, you know, and some of these places, like the place where I work, have all different kinds of things going on. And people are there for different kinds of appointments. And so the person who went ahead of you, who came in after you, may be having a totally different thing done. You know, you're not all going to go in the order you walked in the door. So we just need to be a little patient and a little kind, right? Because it's going to happen everywhere. It happens at the pharmacy. It happens at the drugstore. How come Walmart only has 2 lanes open, right? At Christmas. We are going to wait, folks. So we need to have a good attitude and not be the ones to jump on the bandwagon when you got somebody else sitting there saying, oh, this place stinks, well, and they're just griping about it and going on, you know. We've got to be careful that we have the right attitude, right? The right Christian attitude. Be kind. The people who are there checking you out, it's not their fault. They just work there. And they're doing the best they can. And if they had their way, they would have every lane open. But they don't. So let's not abuse these poor people, right, who are in the line. I was at, I know I go to fast food places a lot. I was at another McDonald's one day, and I have a lot of drive-thru stories I could tell you. But I was at another McDonald's one day, and the lady in front of me was screaming at the girl that worked there. I thought, what in the world? She's just waving her arms and just going on and everything, and then they hand her a bag, and she leaves, and I pulled up, and I looked at the lady, and she looked at me, and we both just started laughing. She goes, some people are crazy. I said, I know. There was just, you know, people just act out sometimes. Another part of our wardrobe should be forgiveness. Forgiveness. We have got to be quick to forgive each other. We can't be so quick to hold a grudge. Let me read this next scripture. Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This includes the sins against us that have been created in our own mind. Because sometimes people haven't really sinned against us, but in our mind we have created this whole scenario that what they did that upset us was on purpose or with some ulterior motive going on or something. And so we create this whole thing in our own head. And it really isn't that way, you know? So we've got to be able to forgive people. And my family is going through this right now. My aunt passed away last week, and my cousins are acting a fool. That's the only way I know how to say it. But they have created things in their minds that people are trying to take advantage of them and just all kinds of crazy nonsense. And when people get like that, it's hard to get it out, right? So those of us that are believers, we can pray for them. We can try to be a good example of them. We can try to speak wisdom to them. We can try to do stuff like that. But, you know, unforgiveness is a horrible thing, and it makes you bitter, and it makes you an angry person, and it's not good for you. So we all need to practice forgiveness, and sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard, especially if you were truly wronged, and you know you were truly wronged. It's hard. But what's more important? It's more important for us as Christians to be God-honoring, right? That's what's more important. So we have to be forgivers. And then love. Now, love does not come naturally to us human beings. I think mostly love for our kids does, love for a spouse, our parents. But love for humankind in general, I don't think necessarily comes easily to us. We have to pray for it. We have to strive for it. Sometimes we face some pretty difficult people. At my job, there are times when I face some very mean and nasty people sometimes. I had a gentleman who wanted to talk to me the other day, and my staff, they were afraid of him. They were afraid of him. They said, he won't listen. He screams and he yells, and he says if we don't do what he wants, he's going to come up there. Well, we don't know what he's going to do. And so he said, and he wants to talk to you. I said, okay. So I get his phone number. They tell me the whole scenario. So I had to go in my office and shut the door, and I had to pray. Lord, help me love this person. Because from what I'm being told, he is not nice, right? So help me to love him. Help me to show him some type of kindness. Help me to know how to handle him. Because there's all kinds of different ways to handle people in situations like that. So I called him, and he starts yelling and griping and going on and on and on and screaming. And then he starts cursing at me. And I said, oh, excuse me? And he said something else. I said, no, what did you say just a minute ago? And he said it again without the curse words. I said, no, that is not what you said. He said, well, I'll say whatever I want. I said, well, not to me you won't. I said, so I want to help you, but if you can't talk to me in a civil tone of voice without using those kind of words, I'm not going to be able to help you. You're going to have to take your business someplace else. And he said, are you going to tell my doctor you won't see me? I said, I sure will. So he said, well, fine. So I think we probably hung up on each other at the same time. Actually, but I went and told his doctor, you know, can't handle this man. He can't abuse me and he can't abuse my staff. We're not having it. So he said, well, if I talk to him and make him promise to be nice, will you do his test? I said, I want to talk to him first, but okay. So he calls me back and he says, okay, he's trying. I can tell he's really trying to be calm, and it's really hard, but he's really trying. And he said, I think you would understand if you were having this kind of issue getting your test done, that you would be frustrated too. And I said, yes, sir, I would. I said, but, I said, we are not affiliated with your insurance company. I said, your frustration is with the insurance company. I said, it's not us. And I said, and even when I'm frustrated at my most, I never talk to people the way you have talked to me. And I said, so I'm just asking that when you come in here, you be civil. He didn't know what that meant. So I said, you be nice and kind. We'll be nice and kind to each other. So he said, okay. So he came in. He did his part. I did my part. He did his part. We got him seen. Now, you may think that, yeah, Cindy showed love to that man. Well, I really wanted to knock his head off. But the Lord helped me realize, you know what? This man is in need of some Jesus, right? He is also in need of a strong hand. He wasn't needing someone to let him come in and just run all over everybody. That is not what he needed. He needed somebody to say, you know what, this is unacceptable. And you can come in and we want to help you, but we're not doing this. It's going to be the right way. And sometimes we have to do that with difficult people. We can love them. We can show them love. And we don't respond in kind, do we? When they're mean to us and ugly to us, we don't respond in kind. We respond with calmness, with as much love of Jesus as we can let flow through us, you know? So we have to think about that. 1 Corinthians 14:16 says, and do everything with love. I think of love as the no stink. You know what I'm saying? It's the perfume you spray after you're all ready. It's the sweet aroma of everything else you have on. The love is what makes all the rest of it not stink. You know, you've got to do it with the love. And according to 1 Corinthians 13, if you don't do it with love, it doesn't matter. You can be kind. You can be compassionate. You can do all those things. But if you don't have love, then none of that other stuff really matters. So God's wardrobe is a compassionate heart, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness, and love. As much love as you can get out there with all the other stuff. And we need to put as much thought into our spiritual wardrobe as we put into our physical wardrobe. So I'm just going to pray over us that we would daily think about, what do I need to be wearing spiritually today? What's lacking in my wardrobe? You know, maybe you need more of that compassionate heart like I think I need. Or maybe you think you need more kindness or maybe humility. Whatever it is, there's something for each of us that is a little bit lacking in our wardrobe. So, Father, we just come before you today. So thankful for your word. Thankful, Lord, that you speak to us, that you show us things in our own life, Father. As we read your word, things pop out that maybe we are lacking in our own spiritual wardrobe. Father, I pray that you'd speak to each person right now. Show them, Father, the areas that they need to improve on, that area in their life where they are lacking a spiritual piece of clothing. Father, there's something for all of us. There are some areas we are strong in, and I thank you for those areas. And I pray that you even strengthen them even more. And then there are areas, Father, where we really need to improve. And Father, I pray that you open our hearts to that. Lord, mold us and make us into what you want us to be. Don't let us be content to be lacking in one of these areas, Father. Lord, let us really, really think about it. Let us get up in the morning and think, okay, what do I need to spiritually put on today? Some things may come naturally and spiritual and naturally go on us, but others are difficult. The fit doesn't seem to be just quite right. But Father, I pray that you'd help it to fit us like a glove. Father, all of these things, that we would get up in the day and we would go about our business and we would show these things to the world. But most of all, we would show them love. And they would see Jesus in us. Because that's what we want. We want them to see Jesus in us. We want to be Jesus with skin on. as they say. So, Father, I praise you, Lord. Touch each person. Bless each one. And, Father, speak to them so clearly that they know that you are talking to them and myself as well, Father. You've already talked to me about some of these things, and I appreciate it, and I thank you for it. Lord, bless us as we fellowship together later on. And, Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.